message for everyone here today. But I am going to deliver a message to a select group of people. 1 Kings chapter 18 is a synopsis of the account of one of the greatest ultimatums that was ever given in Scripture. Elijah had evaded King Ahab for some time, for some 3 years. No rain. And there was some hostility in King Ahab in trying to obtain Elijah. But when Elijah finally gets everyone together on Mount Carmel, there were three groups of people that were present on Mount Carmel. The first group of people, in which Elijah thought he was the only one, was the group of people who were completely and totally surrendered and sold out to the purpose and will of Jehovah God. Elijah figured that he was the only one. We know in reading Scripture that he wasn't the only one, but there were those on Mount Carmel who, regardless of what the prophets of Baal had done, and regardless of how wicked Jezebel was in destroying all of God's people and trying to demean their mentalities, regardless of that, there were people who had made up in their mind, I'm going to serve God no matter what. Because He is God, I've tried Him and I know, and I figured that out. The second group of people were those... Hallelujah. There we go. Just give it a little swift kick and it always works. The second group of people that were present on Mount Carmel were those who had already determined in their mind that no matter what Elijah said, no matter how eloquent he waxed upon Mount Carmel, they had already determined in their heart, whatever he says, I'm opposed to it. I'm against this Jehovah God. I am against everything that is a part of Him. There were those prophets of Baal who had come, and they were not going to change their mind for anybody. And the Bible said there were 450 priests of Baal, and there were also 400 priests of what the Bible calls the grove. Now, Elijah wasn't the only one dealing with tree-hugging environmentalists. We deal with them today as well. But that is, in a sense, what they were. Prophets of the grove. And so Elijah is dealing with those people, but his message in 1 Kings chapter 18 and 21 is not to them. But listen to what Elijah has to say to this third group of people. Verse 21 of 1 Kings chapter 18, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And notice the response of the people. The people answered him not a word. Elijah was preaching to a dead church. So they just didn't respond. But today, my sermon or message is really not a sermon or message, but what I want to present today is an appeal. And my appeal is to that third group of people. I want to appeal to the undecided. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. This is going to be a very different message in a different style today. But by the time we're done, I hope somebody in this room has made a choice, made a decision, either to walk with God or to just walk away. I absolutely despise apple pie. I hate it. I can't stand it. Call me un-American. Whatever you want to say, I can't stand the stuff. I like to look at it. It's pretty. Pies are always pretty to me. I mean, the fancier the better, and I mean, that just, it looks so good. But when I put it in my mouth, there is something about it that I just cannot stand. And I think a lot of it has to do with, it's a psychological thing with me, because, and I've got a little story here to tell you, and here's the reason I don't like apple pie. The reason I do not like apple pie is because for my 13th birthday, I was given a gift that I had never been given before. For my 13th birthday, I was given the decision and choice of what kind of a birthday cake that I would like to have. Now, perhaps my favorite birthday cake, now I had never been given this choice before. It had always just been made, there was candles, whatever kind it was, we just dealt with it. And I wasn't even thinking about it. But for my 13th birthday, I was given the choice to choose. I got to choose what kind of a birthday cake I got to have and everybody else got to eat. Now, perhaps my favorite is German chocolate cake.
Amen.
Now the Spirit's going to move right here. It has every element that you would ever want in good cake. It's chocolate. It's got coconuts and pecans in it. And whatever that gooey icing is all over it, that's just heaven. So I probably would have chosen that. But my mother is known for making the meanest red velvet cake on planet Earth. Cream cheese icing, little sprinkles on top of there. I'm telling you, it's divine. And of course, at the age of 13, sprinkles was kind of looking good to me too. So, hallelujah. There we go. Confetti cake, you know what I'm talking about. That was just appealing to me. So, when I was asked to make a decision about what kind of a cake I wanted, I just kind of couldn't decide. It was such an important decision to make. It was the biggest decision up until that point that I had ever made, is what kind of a birthday cake I wanted. So I put it off. It was such a big decision that you just got to think things over. So I spent all day trying to figure out what kind of a cake I wanted. And it came to the point in time where I had to decide. It was time for dinner. We were getting ready to put everything together. Mom, it was getting time for her to mix the cake and bake it. And, you know, it takes a little time for that kind of stuff. So she came to me once again and said, "What kind of a birthday cake would you like for me to fix for you for your 13th birthday? You're turning 13. You're a teenager now. What kind of a cake?" I don't know. I can't make up my mind. My beloved father, for whatever reason, trying to just speed things along, decides that there is a perfectly good frozen apple pie in the freezer downstairs. And that's just as good as cake, so we might as well just do that. And because he can't make a decision, we're just going to go along with this. So he pulls out this Sara Lee apple pie, puts it in the oven, it's frozen. And so for my 13th birthday, we stuck a 1 and a 3 candle in an apple pie. And I had apple pie for my 13th birthday, no birthday cake. And at that very moment, I learned a very important principle. And that principle is this: that indecision breeds contempt. Indecision will often bring about things that you do not wish to have in your life. Choosing not to decide means that someone else is going to have to make a decision for you. And more than likely, you're not going to like what they decide. More than likely, it would have not been what you choose.
That's
But because you decided not to decide, or you decided to be undecisive, a decision will have to be made for you. And therefore, it will breed contempt in your spirit and in your mind, even in your flesh. How many of you still have your census laying on the table somewhere at the house? You mean everybody sent yours in?
Haven't gotten one yet.
You haven't gotten your census? Not census. And not census. The U.S. count and numbers. How many of you still have it laying at the table at home?
All right.
I was listening to a radio program the other day, and I was amazed. And they were talking about this census and counting people and all of this kind of stuff. And I noticed that everybody that called into this program had already made a decision whether or not to send this in. It's been a big debate about what the government is trying to do. Are they trying to get your personal information that no one, they want to know everything about you, or are they just trying to count everybody in the United States? And some people were calling into this program saying, well, they need this information. They need to figure out, all of this stuff, how many government officials you need in your county and your community. And there were other people who called in and said, they don't need all of that mess. They don't need to know who I am. They don't need to know all of my cell number and my email. They don't need any of that stuff. They don't need to know all of this. They just need to know how many people live in my house. And so some people said, the day that I got it in, I filled it out and I sent it in right away. It's important to do this thing. And then there were other people who said, the day that I got it, I put it through the shredder. And the radio announcer said, do you realize that someone will come to your house? They will arrest you. They will put you in prison if you do not send it in. He said, I know. I've already made up my mind. And I know what's going to happen. But I do not care. But there I was in the car listening to this program, trying to figure out. I still had mine at home. And the reason I hadn't sent it in yet is because it came with the wrong address. And I realized that, governments can somewhat be corrupt, and they're trying to get more delegates in a certain type of an area. So they sent it to the right zip code, but the wrong city. So Illinois governments can be kind of weird. But anyway, that doesn't have to do anything spiritual, so we'll just march on. But I realized that if I chose not to decide about this, and I just left it alone, that was my choice. And indecisiveness was going to bring somebody to my home, a choice that I didn't want. And perhaps imprisonment, a choice I really don't want. And that would breed contempt in my soul and in my spirit, in my mind, in my psyche. I didn't want any of that to happen. So I had to come to a decision. I'm either going to do this or I'm not going to do this. And that was the ultimatum that Elijah presented on Mount Carmel. He presented a message to people who could not decide whether to serve God or to serve Baal. And watch what Elijah has to say. How long will you halt between two opinions? The fact of the matter is that Elijah was speaking to people who were trying to live two different lifestyles in the same body. Living for God in one manner, but living for Baal in another manner. How many of you know somebody like that? That would try to live for God in one way, perhaps come to church on Sunday and say, I've done my duty, but you see them on Monday or Tuesday, perhaps Wednesday, and you know on Saturday they're not living for the Lord. They're going to do whatever they decide to do or whatever they choose to do, living for God one day, but choosing to do something another, and thinking that they're okay in their spirituality and their walk and relationship with God. But know this, that no one can live in two opinions. I believe it was James in his in his New Testament book said that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Someone who believes that and thinks in their mind that they can live in two different worlds at one time is absolutely psychologically imbalanced. They're unstable. They're like a wave of the sea being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine that comes along. They'll believe something one moment, but yet change their mind about this and the next. And that's who the appeal to, that's Elijah's appeal, was to those people who were wavering, to those of two opinions. You cannot serve two masters. And then Elijah says this, if God be God, if He is who He says and claims He is, if you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God is the creator and sustainer and the source of our strength, if you know that God robed Himself in flesh, dwelt among us, if you know that God came and died on a cross, was buried, rose again the third day, what we have just celebrated this past week, and you believe that God ascended up into heaven and is returning again, if you believe that God is God, then follow Him. Lay aside every other thought. Put it, if God has ever worked a miracle in your life and you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that it was God, why not serve Him with all of your heart? Why not give Him every part of yourself? If God really is God, if He's ever done anything for anybody, if you've ever heard a testimony of a changed life, if you are that changed life, if God has done anything for you and you know that He is God, follow Him. With all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind and strength, follow Him. But if Baal be God, then go with him. If you have tried God and He has failed you, try something else. If God has never answered your prayer, give up. Can you believe that that's what Elijah was saying? If Baal really is God, then just go on with him. Make room for somebody who is willing to believe. If you can't make up in your mind that this is what is for you, if you think that this is just not the way I want to live or choose to live, then just go find your God. Go find whatever works for you. If your job can provide eternal salvation for you, then go work until you lose your mind. Go and do whatever. If drugs and alcohol is what you tend to lean toward and you feel that that is what gives you the ultimate feeling and emotion, then by all means, go for it. If this system, this world system, is really all that everyone says it's cracked up to be, then by all means, go do that. But I like what Joshua had to say in Joshua 24. As for me and as for my house, I've tried it. And I figured out He is the Lord. So as for me at my house, I'm going to serve Him. Choose whatever God you choose. Choose whatever mindset you want. Choose however you choose to live. But as for me, I have tried Him. I have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, there is no question in my mind, He is God, and so I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to love Him. I'm going to decide to follow Him. Whatever the Lord tells me to do, that's where I'm going to go. That's where I'm going to walk. That's what I'm going to do. That's how I'm going to live. I have made up in my mind. My appeal today is to those who cannot decide. whether to serve God or to serve yourself. Elijah asked a question. And the question was, how long? Israel had gone without rain, water, any type of moisture coming to the ground. Barren, dry. 3 years they had gone without any water. No rain. And Elijah's appeal was, how long? How long is it going to take for you to wake up and realize that God has done this to you and allowed this to happen in your life to bring you back to Him? You know, we blame a lot of stuff on the devil that really isn't his fault. There are a lot of... Do you realize, and I'm just going to step out on a limb here, but I realize it's true. Do you realize that God allows things to happen in your life?
Amen.
And the reason He allows it to happen is so that you will recognize He is the only remedy.
Amen.
You have no other choice but to turn to Him. That's why God allowed it to happen in the first place. There was no escape for the three Hebrew children. Absolutely no escape. They were bound hand and foot. So they had to trust in God. We're not careful to answer you in this matter. Whatever God chooses to do, we're still going to believe. If we burn in the fire, we'll get to see Him. We're going to heaven. And if He chooses to interrupt you and sustain us and to keep us, then He's going to do that. But whatever He chooses to do, it is not up to us. We've already made up in our mind. We've chosen to decide. To decide on God. But God allowed this to happen in their life so that they would realize and recognize, I don't have another choice. God is my only choice. There are some of you here today that are so burdened with decisions. I don't know why I feel this to say this today, but I'm just kind of walking here in the Holy Ghost. I know we're not jumping and shouting and screaming and hollering like apostolics usually do. We may do a little of that tonight. We'll just feel it out. But hear me out today. There are those of you in this room who have come in here and you don't realize, you don't recognize how heavy the burden is weighing on you. The decisions and the choices that you're going to have to make throughout the rest of your life. And there are those of you in this room who have already made up in your mind, I'm going to serve God no matter what. And I promise you, that choice will be the right choice. There will be also those of you in this room who choose to say, no matter what that preacher says, I choose to ignore it. I just don't think it's right for me. I don't think this is what I believe in. So you'll choose to walk away. I understand to some degree. I must admit that choice is the wrong choice. Choosing not to serve God, absolutely not, is the wrong choice. But I am coming to those of you here today who have not yet made up in your mind. God has been good to you, but you don't know whether or not you can serve Him. You don't know whether or not you can fully and totally depend on Him for everything in your life. I tell you, it's a rough decision to make, especially for flesh to make. But I promise you, God is the only choice to make. He is the only true decision. I have tried Him, and I found Him to be true. And I know that He is God. I know that He is God. Beyond the shadow of any doubt, I know He is God. So how long will it take for us to fight through situations and fight through our battles and our problems? How long will it take for us to fully and completely depend on God for every step and move that we make? How long will God have to burden us with things in our life? How many troubles will we have to go through and fight our way through? How many family problems are we going to have to face? How many emotional things are we going to have to go through until we recognize and believe and realize that God is our only choice, and the only hope that we have in this world is through Jesus Christ. The only remedy to our cancer, the only thing that we have to know is Him. How long will it take for us to recognize that we should be the only choice? Elijah's appeal was, how long? How many more years are you going to go without water? Elijah said, you can have it, but you have to trust God. I know this is kind of a different message here this morning, and I'm kind of fighting which way to turn and direct our attention here today. And I'm fighting for somebody here this morning. Some of you have questioned whether or not the Holy Ghost is really for you. Some of you have believed that speaking in tongues perhaps is not really for us today. My wife and I were preaching a revival in Columbus, Indiana, I believe it was, back in the fall. There was a young lady who had come to revival, and I noticed she had been through a lot of things. She had tried to commit suicide just a few days before. And she had lost everything. Her home, her family, her husband had walked out on her, took the kids. He got full custody of the kids. She couldn't see her. She lost her job. She lost everything. Transportation. It seemed like it was just everything that she had tried to build up was collapsing at her feet. And the emotion that she was feeling all during service, tears were rolling down her face as we would sing and worship the Lord. And we would pray, and I was preaching that morning. Or it was an evening service, and I was preaching that Sunday night, and I preached about 10 minutes, and the Lord told me to stop and give an altar call. I know some of you are looking at me like, why didn't God tell him that this morning? God told me just to stop everything. Let's just do an appeal to the altar. So I stopped, and I just said, let's get up. Let's pray to the altar. Somebody needs a touch from the Lord. And I watched this lady. She didn't move. She was about the only person still sitting out of the congregation. Sitting on the second row here. So I just walked up to her and I grabbed her by the hands and I started to pray with her. She was weeping and crying. All of a sudden, the emotion started to overwhelm her. She started to shake and to shimmer. And she was just so overwhelmed by the Holy Ghost. And as she was praying, I said, you just got to open your mouth and start to talk to the Lord. If you want the Holy Ghost, if you want the Spirit of God to dwell in you, you can't whisper. You know, the evidence of the Holy Ghost is speaking with other tongues. And it will never come unless you open your mouth. You can't just think a prayer. It must be spoken to God. So I told her, I said, you've got to open your mouth. Express in your own heart, in your own words, what you're feeling in your mind, and express to God what you want from Him. And so she began to pray and open her mouth. And as soon as she did, she began to speak with other tongues. And when she started speaking with other tongues, she grabbed it. She grabbed the pew and stood up. And her eyes opened. She patted her face. She regained her composure. She looked at me. And I grabbed her by the hand again. I said, is there something wrong? She said, What I was just doing, she said, I don't know that I can do that. She said, I was taught as a child that speaking in other tongues is of the devil. She said, somebody in my denomination told me that it wasn't for us, it wasn't right for us to do that today. So I leaned into her and I said, okay, I understand what you were taught, but just answer me this question. Said the lady that brought you here today, there was a lady who had brought her to church who was in the hospital room adjacent to her. She had been in for tests and different things, but but had witnessed to this lady who had just tried to commit suicide and had ultimately failed at doing so. She had bandages all over her wrist from trying to cut herself. And I told her, I said, this lady that brought you here today, tell me, do you think she's of an evil spirit? Do you think she has within her an evil spirit? I said, take a look around you. All of these people that are praying, all these people that are praying with you, praying in this altar, what you felt here today, do you believe honestly that is of an evil spirit? She said, no, I don't believe that at all. I believe what I feel is God. And I said, that's exactly right. And I said, let me tell you something else. Speaking in tongues is absolutely for us today. As a matter of fact, it is absolutely essential that you do so if you choose to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because it is the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You will speak with other tongues when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And having that knowledge and understanding, she lifted up her hands again and she just began to speak out with other tongues. And when she did, she started to jump up and down and she was screaming, I'm free! I'm free! I understand now! With God. But Joshua said this in Joshua 24, if it seem evil to you to choose God, then choose whoever you want to serve. Go choose to walk with Baal. Choose the gods that are on the other side of the flood. The gods that the Egyptians prayed to and received no answer. Pray to whatever you choose to pray to. Live however you choose to live. But as for me, I have found out that God is my choice. God is the only choice in reality to make. God will be the right decision. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? I appeal to those of you here today who have come to this church perhaps a few years now. Maybe this is your first service and you've just come to enjoy the worship, enjoy the music, enjoy a time of fellowship with good people, precious people. Perhaps there are those of you here in this room today who have attended this church for many, many years. Yet you still can't figure out whether or not this is for you. Living for the Lord, living this kind of a life is really, really right. I ask you the same question that Elijah asked. How long will you halt between two opinions? How long do you have to suffer and make mistakes and falter and fail and have no one to turn to until you realize God really is the only true decision, choice to make? I appeal to those of you here today who have not yet made the choice to walk with the Lord and have not made Him your choice. I'm appealing to you today. Because sooner than later, there is coming a day where the appeal will no longer be made. There's coming a time when I can no longer stand before you and say, make the Lord your choice. It's going to be too late. So while we have this moment, I'm appealing to you today. If the Lord be God, follow Him. Do what He's asked you to do. Repent of your sins. Turn away from the lifestyle that you you've been living, walk away from those things and follow Him. Some of you in this room have so much guilt of your past, and you do not know how in the world you're ever going to get rid of those feelings and emotions of what you used to do and who you used to be. Well, let me give you the remedy here this morning. The Bible states that baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is for the remission of our sins, for the washing away or regeneration of our spirit. When you go down, buried in the waters of baptism, in the name of Jesus Christ, no other name will do, but in the name of Jesus Christ, all of those guilty feelings, all of those things have to be put under the blood. And anytime Satan comes to you, reminding you of who you used to be, or your thoughts tend to go back to those times when you used to do those things that you shouldn't do anymore, all you have to do is say, "Satan, it's under the blood." I'm appealing to those of you here today who have not yet received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, who have not yet spoken with other tongues. I'm here to tell you today, it's for you. So I make an appeal to you today. Make the Lord your choice. Perhaps there's someone in this room here today who has not yet in a long time. Maybe you made the Lord your choice some time ago but have walked away from Him. Just like the people of Israel did so many times before. They served God, then they didn't serve Him. Then they served Him, and then they didn't serve Him. Back and forth, indecisive. I'm appealing to you today, to the undecided. I'm asking you, make a decision. Because if you do not make the decision to walk with the Lord, I promise you, you will regret not making the decision. Because not choosing the Lord is choosing to walk with Satan. Being indecisive about God is choosing another way. So before your indecision breeds contempt in your soul and in your spirit, I appeal to you to come to this altar this morning. Maybe there are some of you who don't feel comfortable coming to this altar, but you need to make an altar right where you stand. You need to lift your hands before the Lord and say, "I surrender, God. I know You are God, and I'm going to make You my choice." Would you lift your hands right now wherever you stand? Would you make the Lord your choice? This altar is open to any one of you who want to make that step, to want to make a change. Would you step out of your seat right now, come to this altar, and make a decision to walk with the Lord? To the decided, to those of you who have already made up in your mind that I'm going to serve God no matter what comes my way, I want you to let God know again, "God, I make You my choice. Regardless of what my family says, regardless of what my job chooses to say about me, regardless of how my community accepts me, I'm still going to choose You because I know You're the right choice." Lift your voice to the Lord now in the name of Jesus. I pray today, God, that You would touch each and every one in this room as we walk with You, as we choose You, God, as we make You our choice. We surrender every other thing to You.